Father, as that song was just played, Lord, how great You are, our God, Lord. You wrap Yourself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Lord, we praise You. We love You. Lord, help us to magnify Your name, Lord. Help us to focus upon You right now. And Lord, if there's anything that's distracting us right now from You, from Your presence, Lord, from focusing on You, from doing what You said in Hebrews 12:2 and fixing our eyes on You, Jesus. If there's anything distracting us, Lord, help us right now, Lord, to lay it down, to cast all of our anxiety, all of our burdens upon You, because You care for us and You tell us to, and leave them there with You that we may focus upon You and continue to worship You, Lord, and hear what You have for us. Lord, speak now. Get me out of the way. Let us hear Your voice and what You have from Your Word. And we thank You for it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian and I had the privilege of going to a Wild Game supper about a week ago. I think it was about a week ago. And he had been wanting to try frog legs for years. And we had been to Wild Game suppers around this area and just hadn't found any. And I remembered a Wild Game supper somewhere around Laverne that I had been to years ago with a lot of the men from Cloverdale Baptist Church. So I started looking all online and everything and found it. It's the Crenshaw County Swamp Supper. And it's an incredible Wild Game supper where they have everything. And it's all free and music and everything. So we went there and we got the frog legs, and he ate those frog legs. But we were at a station. They had all these grills set out and people cooking different things. And we were talking with this man that we were waiting on his grill to finish up. And he was cooking some venison. He had some deer, and he had a pepper wrapped in it. And he had bacon wrapped around it. And he was grilling those things. And we were waiting on that, ready to try that. But we were talking to him. And just talking about the Swamp Supper, and he was saying, you know, it's an awesome thing. And he said something to the effect of, you know, he was saying that a lot of men today, you know, they might come to this, but he was saying a lot of men today, you know, may kind of think, you know, it's not very manly to go to church kind of the attitude of church that, you know, well, saying a sweet little prayer and you receive the Lord and then you just be a good boy for the rest of your life. It's real manly or whatever. He was kind of saying, you know, a lot of men may have that perspective. A lot of men might have that perspective. But as we talked about it, you know, it just, and he said, but they'll come to something like this, you know, and then later on. But as he said that and as we talked about that, you know, I just, it just welled up in me, and I just had to mention, you know what, it's sad. It's so sad that some people believe like that, that some men think like that, that some people think that that's what following Jesus is about, or that that's what being a Christian is, or that's what the Christian faith is all about. Say a sweet prayer to Jesus, and then be a good girl or a good boy. It's so sad that some people kind of think that way. And it was so on my heart because the Lord's just really been speaking a lot of these things to me lately that I just mentioned how it's actually so much the opposite of that. It's so sad that some people believe that because it's actually so much the opposite to follow Jesus. It's actually giving up your whole life. It's actually turning away from all that you know and all that you have and all that you are and sacrifice. And it's actually about dying to yourself and completely leaving yourself and following Jesus. And it's actually, and a lot of the things that Jesus said about following Him and being His disciple is pretty hardcore stuff for men and women. To die to self, to give up all that you have and come and follow Him. It's some pretty hardcore stuff for men and women and boys and girls. And it's a lot more than a sweet prayer and being good. And so let's look at it. I'm glad you're sitting down this morning, because the text we're going to look at, that's what's really called for. Sitting down and counting the cost of really following Jesus. Sitting down and thinking about it and thinking, do I really want to follow Jesus? Let me think about this. Before I decide to do it, let me give it a little thought. So I'm glad you're sitting down this morning. The title of the message is, Sit Down, Are You Sure You Want to Be His Disciple? What will it cost you? That's what we want to look at this morning. You're a follower of Jesus, or you want to be a follower of Jesus. What will it cost you? Let's look at it. Let's look what Jesus said. He laid it out here. He had a lot of people. Look at Luke chapter 14. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the seat beside you. And you just turn, if you're new at this, you turn to the last third of the Bible. That's the New Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But get in Luke. Look at Luke chapter 14. And in Luke chapter 14, look at verses 25 through 35. Let's look at that together. Luke 14, 25 to 35. All right, let's see what Jesus said about it. So, he's got all these people following him. It says this in 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, This fellow began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Wow. Have you ever considered that cost? Have you ever sat down and calculated this thing? Before you said that sweet prayer and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what he says to do here. Sit down, and he gave two examples. You look at the whole cost before you decide on something. Have you done it? So, what will it cost you? Are you sure you want to be his disciple? What will it cost you? Well, let's look into what he said here. What did he say? At three different times he said, If you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. Three different times. Let's look at it. So, what will it cost you if you want to be Jesus' disciple? Well, first of all, it'll cost you your family. It'll cost you your family. If you want to be his disciple. Look at verse 25 and 26a. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. He had a lot of people following. And turning to them, he said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. But before we got to his own life, let's not look at that part yet. But he mentions all these family members. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, children, and brothers and sisters, and then he says, he cannot be my disciple. Well, what is he talking about? That sounds pretty hard. That sounds pretty tough. We were talking about it Wednesday night, me and a couple other people in the church, and we stayed after, and we were talking about discipleship, and we talked about this verse, and one of the people I was talking with said, I don't like that. I don't like that. And that's the feel of it, isn't it? I don't know. What is he talking about? I don't know if I like that. But he said, it's in the cost. If you want to be his disciple, you got to hate your wife and your children, your mother and father. What is he talking about? Well, and I said that night, we were talking to him, and I said, well, you know, I hadn't looked at the Greek yet. You know, I need to look up the Greek word for hate here and see. You go to the original Greek and then you look and you see, well, what are all the different English words that could be used there and all that? But I looked it up in the Greek and I found out the Greek word is meseo, and it actually means to hate, pursue with hatred, detest, to be hated, detested. So it's a good translation. That's what Jesus said. That's what he said. If you want to be his disciple, you got to hate your father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children. You got to hate them all. And you're still probably saying, well, hold on, what? It's a good translation. What's going on here? It's a hyperbole. It's a hyperbole. A hyperbole is an exaggerated statement or claim not meant to be taken literally. But it emphasizes a very strong point. This is a powerful hyperbole. This is a powerful exaggeration. There again, a hyperbole. It's an exaggerated statement or claim not meant to be taken literally. It's exaggerated, but it's to make a strong point. Jesus used hyperbole before. You remember he said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It'd be better to enter life, enter paradise maimed than to have those things that are causing you to sin. But he didn't mean cut off your hand. You know, I keep sinning with these hands. It was a hyperbole. It was an exaggerated, and it was an awesome hyperbole. And I love these hyperboles because they show you how powerful what God is talking about here is. When God tells you, cut off your hand if it's causing you to sin, that's a great exaggerated claim, not meant to be taken literally, but that's a great exaggerated claim that makes you stop right there at that text and say, my goodness, God, is that serious about my sin? Even my little bitty sins? That He would say, cut off my hand, gouge out my eye. It really tells you God is serious about sin. It's pretty powerful. I need to do all I can to avoid it, as Sid prayed for us. We would not walk in sin. Well, same thing here. This is an incredible, powerful hyperbole of Jesus saying, if you want to be my disciple, here's what it's going to cost you. Here's what you have to do. You got to hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, or you can't be my disciple. It makes you stop and think, this is a powerful thing God is saying here. It's a powerful thing. Well, what is He saying? He's saying that you must love Jesus even more than your immediate family. Much more than your immediate family. I always kind of thought about it before. You must love Jesus so much more than your immediate family. Love Him. Your relationship with Him is so much greater, and you love Him so much more, and it's so much more important than your relationship with your family. The way you love Him, it almost seems like hate the way you love your family. It should be such a difference. You love Him far more than anything. He's your first, your foremost, your all in all. You give up everything for Him. That's how I've kind of thought about it before. But that's what it means. It means you must love Jesus. You must love Him more than your immediate family. Much more than your immediate family. Or you cannot be His disciple. That hate is mentioned in a few other places in the Scripture. Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. He's talking about Jacob. He loved Esau. He hated. And then Leah, in the Old Testament, Leah was hated. Jacob had these two wives, and it says that Leah he hated, but Jacob loved Rachel and hated Leah. But that's not what it means. It doesn't mean he hated her. It's that principle. It's that Leah hated means basically that Jacob loved Rachel even more. He loved Rachel a lot more. So, of course, believers... of course, it doesn't mean hate your family. Matter of fact, as if you have a wife, if you're a husband, matter of fact, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So actually, the kind of love God calls you to have is actually the kind of love that Christ has for the church. Christ died for the church. So actually, if you're a husband, you're supposed to love your wife in the same way that he loved the church. You're supposed to be, at any moment, give your life for your wife. That's how God feels about you loving your family. But he's talking about him versus your family. If you want to be his disciple, you got to hate them. They got to be way over here. And it's first and foremost him. You love him more if you want to be his disciple. He says it another way in Matthew 10, verses 37 through 39. He says it another way. And this is mentioned in all this type of teaching from Jesus. Denying yourself, taking up your cross. It's in all four Gospels. So, of course, we know it's very important. But here's how Jesus said it in Matthew 10, 37 through 39, Jesus said this: "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And so you see, the same teaching in Matthew 10, he's teaching on the same thing. So, what will it cost you? If you want to be his disciple, you're sitting down, it's time to think about it. If you want to be his disciple, what will it cost you? It'll cost you your family. It'll cost you your family. You've got to be willing to have him first, put them on the back burner. Love him more. And then next, it'll cost you your life. It'll cost you your life. It'll cost you your family, and it'll cost you your life. Look at 26b and 27. Starting in 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life," there it is, "yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." So if you want to be his disciple, it'll cost you your family and it'll cost you your life. He said what we mentioned earlier: if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. You cease to exist. Your life is gone. Take up his cross, and that means death. When somebody took up a cross, they executed people all the time that way. You take that cross beam and you carry it yourself to the place you're going to be executed, and then you're executed. That's what you got to do. If you want to be his disciple, you got to do that to yourself. You got to carry your cross. You got to give your life. So what will it cost you? Your family? Your life? Next, it'll also cost you everything you have. It'll cost you everything you have. Now that includes your family and your life. You got that. You got a family. You got your life. That's a part of everything you have. So it's saying that again. If you want to be his disciple, cost you your family, your own life, and everything you have. Those things and everything else. Anything else you got. Everything you got. If you want to be his disciple, it'll cost everything you have. That's what he said in verse 33. He gave these two examples about, you know, you really need to sit down and think about this. Make sure you want to follow me. But then in 33, he said, in the same way as counting the cost of these other things, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Does that mean he wants you to go and sell everything you have? Not unless he tells you to. But it's a matter of the heart right now, this moment. Is that something else that you would give to follow him? Would you give everything you have? Your family, yourself, and everything else. Everything you got. All that you are, all that you have. Every dream, every hope, everything you got. Would you give it all to follow him? That's what it costs if you want to be his disciple. And so, next we see, sit down. And you're already doing that. But any of us need to do that. Sit down. Are you in or out? It's time to decide. It's time to decide. What will it cost you to be his disciple? It'll cost you your family. It'll cost you your life. It'll cost you everything you have. So sit down and decide. Are you in or are you out? That's what we see going on in 28 through 33. He gives two examples. Don't just haphazardly follow me. Consider the cost. He gives 28, he talks about somebody building a tower. You know, think about how much you got. Make sure you can finish. You don't want to start and you get that foundation going and then you couldn't finish it. And then he says, a king going to war. You got 10,000 men, they got 20,000. Sit down. You might want to go ask for terms of peace. You might not want to do this thing. So he's saying, you want to follow me? Sit down. You really going to pay all that? You willing to give all that up for me? Consider it. Think about it. And decide. Sit down. Are you in or out? And here's why. Here's why you've got to make a decision on the matter. Verses 34 and 35. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus gives another example. He says, salt is good. You know, if you have something real bland, some kind of bland food, it's nothing. You know, you don't taste hardly anything. But you add that salt to it, and all of a sudden you got a nice, tasty dish there. Well, Christians are the salt of the earth, the salt of the world. And we got a bland world here that's been cursed, and it's gone through the fall of sin and destruction. The world is a fallen place, a cursed place. But there's salt all over the world. There's Christians. There's disciples of Christ all over the place. And they are to add salt to the earth. And so when you see a Christian somewhere, you're going to notice a difference. You're going to notice the bland, cursed world, the terrible, with the things going on in the world all around you. When you see a Christian, you'll see some salt. You'll be like, whoa, this world isn't so bad. This is pretty incredible. Well, that's what Christians are to be, the salt of the earth. Well, Jesus says, if salt loses its saltiness, then it's not good for anything, not even the manure pile. It's not good for anything. That's why he's saying, sit down and consider the cost first. He doesn't want you to just say, oh yeah, I'll say a little prayer, and Jesus, save me from my sins, and help me to follow you, and I'll go about my life now, haphazard. And maybe somebody will figure out I'm a Christian one day. And no, you wouldn't have any saltiness. And you wouldn't be good for anything if that's how you were as a disciple. And so he says, consider the cost. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? And so if you decided to follow Jesus and then there's no difference, what good is that? What is good? What good is that? He mentions it, the salt. If it's not salty, it's not good for the manure pile. Or Verse 35, not for the soil or for the manure pile. It's just thrown out if it's not salty. And so you sit down, you consider the cost. If you really want to be His disciple, if you're really willing to pay all this, to give everything up to follow Him, then you will be salty. You will be salty. Mary Frank shared with us this past Wednesday night. You heard it. This past Wednesday, she said she heard Jim Cimbala speak, and I wanted so bad to hear him. I was in a baseball draft, and I was trying so hard watching that clock, trying to go see Jim Cimbala, pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. He spoke over here at Eastmont. And Mary Frank shared with us that he said that one of his big points that really stood out to Mary Frank that she shared with all of us that meant a lot to us, and the way that Lord spoke it to her, was that Jim Cimbala said that tons of Christians today, so many Christians today, look just like the world. And you don't see any difference. That's what Jesus is saying He doesn't want. That's saying you're a Christian, but then you're not salty. So you're not good for anything. And Jim Cimbala said there's tons of Christians like that, that look just like the world, and you can't tell the difference. Is this person of the world, or are they a believer, or what? Who knows? I don't know. You ever heard them talk about Jesus? I don't know. But if we're a disciple, if you give up everything, you're going to be salty. Everybody's going to know you. Add taste to your workplace, to everywhere you go. You add that saltiness. Jesus put it another way in Revelation chapter 3. He said, I would prefer that, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he said, I would prefer that you would either be hot or cold. Either follow me, be hot, give up everything you have, you follow me, you be my disciple, or be cold. Just sit down and consider the cost and say, that's too much for me. I'm not going to do it. But if you're lukewarm, that's the people Jim Cimbala is talking about. You can't even tell if they're a Christian. If you're just lukewarm and you say, I prayed a prayer and I follow Jesus. If you're lukewarm, Jesus said, it makes me want to spit you out of my mouth, to spew you out of my mouth. It's like, I'm sorry to be gross, but Jesus said it. It's like a picture of vomiting. He wants to vomit if you're not hot or cold. So He wants you to be salty. He wants you to be His disciple. But it's up to you. You're sitting down. You need to decide. Are you sure you want to be His disciple? What will it cost you? It'll cost you your family. It'll cost you your life. It'll cost you everything you have. So sit down and decide. Are you in or out? And here's why. We talked about the saltiness. Here's why. So let's pray about it. Father, we thank You. Jesus, thank You for Your call, Lord. Lord, I'm reminded of the others in Luke where You told somebody, follow me. Or He said, I want to follow You. And You said, well, the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay His head. And Lord, we don't know if He ever followed You or not. And then You said, follow me to somebody. And He said, well, I will, but first. And He put something before You. He said, I got to go bury my father, and then I'll come and follow You. And Lord, You mentioned that anybody who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So Lord, we know that Your call to every one of us is follow me. And there's no, but first, well, let me work on this, Lord, and then. We know there's none of that. We're sitting down. It's just yes or no. So, Lord, I pray that You would help every person here, Lord, to choose to be Your disciple, to choose to be Your salty disciple. And You said to be Your disciple, we've got to do those things. So please help every person here daily, as You put it, myself included, every person here. Help us daily, Lord, to pay that cost, Lord. Right now, Lord, may each of us decide, Lord, that we'll give our family for You, to You. We'll give ourselves, we give our life for You, Lord. And we give You everything we have, our family, our life, and everything we have, everything that we are, we give it all to You. And just like Peter and his companions and Matthew at the tax collector's booth, just like all them, they left everything and followed you. Lord, help us to do that, just like Peter. Pull our boat up on the shore, leave everything, get in it, put our whole family, our whole life in it, and say, Lord, I follow you above everything. Help us. And help us to do it daily and continually. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Chris is going to lead us in a song. And if you're deciding that today, if you're tired of the old and maybe you feel like you hadn't been salty or something, and you're ready, just like Gina and Alex did last week, and you want to recommit your life to the Lord, you want to become salty, when Chris leads us in this song, if that's what you're choosing today, to leave everything, you want to put Him first, and you want to just mark it down and make sure, and you can come to this altar. You can come here, you can pray about it. Or if you have if there's some hang up with it with you, and there's maybe something you are still holding on to, you feel like, you can come to the altar and pray about it, release that thing to the Lord and put Him first, put Him above everything. Or maybe the Lord's leading you to come today and give Him your life. Just leave everything. And by your coming, you're just saying, I'm just following Him. I give my whole life to Jesus. When Chris leads us in this song, you come and do that. And you can rededicate your life to the Lord. You can make that commitment to Him. You can pray at your seat and do that if you want. Or maybe He's telling you to join this church. This is where He wants you. Hey, leave everything. Come on. We want to be your church family. But whatever the Lord's doing, you listen for His voice and do whatever He tells you to.